We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
If you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them.
How about if we go to Bill Nye and we say, look, you want to believe in a mindless, purposeless goal as evolution, you go ahead and do it. But whatever you do, Bill, don't raise your children that way. Raise them to be Bible-believing Christians and creationists. Now, how far would that go?
Even our confession sucks. And the gracious God in Jesus Christ says, be of good cheer, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Peace be unto you. And all of it based on Christ, not us.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
It's kind of strange here on a Friday afternoon. One man missing, Craig Feitinger, who is our both director of business operations and our board op here at Lutheran Public Radio, is far, far away. I think for his very first time, he is flown with his brand new bride over to Europe. They're on their honeymoon, a European cruise. But that leaves us here at Issues Etc. one man short. That means Jeff is frantically trying to do both jobs on the other side of the glass, which will make for a very interesting first hour on this Friday afternoon, September the 7th. Jeff has done it before, but he's going to have to read email, play comments, and also be able to man both posts out there. So we'll see how it goes for Jeff. He usually gets rather nervous before these kinds of command performances, but he's keeping his cool so far. He's had all day to prepare, and we're ready to bring you listener email, Issues Etc. comment line a little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, Dr. Serge Trifkovic will join us from Chronicles Magazine. He's written an excellent article titled The Disappearing Middle Eastern Christians. He'll join us from Belgrade. We'll talk about the plight of Christians in the Middle East. He says that U.S. military involvement in the Middle East has not made things better for Middle Eastern Christians, and our support for Israel, not better either. We'll talk with him. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us for the last half hour of the program. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. Because Craig is on vacation, that means next week we'll be doing some original programming, but we'll be taking some vacation as well. We wanted to make sure we got our Sunday school lesson in for next week. We're doing it early on Friday afternoon with Pastor Tom Baker, the bronze serpent in Numbers chapter 21. That's in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. And the email that we've got to read here, it covers the broad spectrum. The comments that we're going to have to respond to, if I listen carefully before the break, largely have to respond to some criticism, which is good. That's what the Issues Etc. comment line is for. Criticism, commendation, suggestion, whatever it may be. 618-223-8382 is the Issues Etc. comment line, and it's open 24 hours a day for your questions, comments, and because so many of our beloved on-demand listeners listen a week or so behind, they always want to ask questions, they want to make suggestions, they want to add to the conversation. That's the way they can do it, 618-223-8382.
And it's not just for on-demand listeners. No. People listen live, and you think, oh, I wish I would have called in and asked that question. You know, so it's for anybody.
Hey, before we get started, the precious and chosen few, were in attendance at the Feitinger Frank wedding this last weekend. Where was it? It was at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood, Missouri, and a beautiful sanctuary there, by the way, just marvelous place. What did you make of the wedding? How do you think Craig held up when it finally came down to the wire and he had to make his vows?
I think Craig was fine until he heard your homily. And I think I told Pastor Wilkin after that service that you will only hear that kind of funeral sermon
wedding sermon.
A wedding sermon. Well, it was kind of a funeral sermon, wasn't it?
It could have been. Sermons ought to be able to kind of interchange for one another in some basic way.
I think you'd only hear that in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. That was there was no pulling punches there about the real life.
Well, what can you do? You can't, because you work together with someone that closely. You can't sit there and act like it's Adam and Eve before the fall getting married or something, because it isn't. It's Adam and Eve after the fall getting married, which is still great stuff. And they had some great hymns. They had a great organist there that was playing, a soloist as well. And then afterwards, it was a typical kind of Feidinger party, as far as I can tell. Yeah. The entourage was all in assembly. All of Craigie's boys were there.
Yes, and notice how they kind of put our table way in the corner. I think it was fun, though. It was you and your wife, Beth, and myself.
My folks.
Your folks from Texas, and Pastor Cum and Janet Cum. So we had a good time.
Yeah. I don't know what everybody else was doing, but we had a fine time. But as is typical for that crowd, we cut out early. Just about the time everybody else was gearing up, it was time for us to go home. Because, you know, we have to be responsible. And Jeff and I had to carry on. So we left early.
Not to mention we had a 50-minute drive.
Yeah.
After a 50-minute drive from the church to the golf course for the reception.
You know. Our drive was longer. You want to know why?
Why?
I didn't turn on the GPS until we were way up north by the airport. So we had to kind of track our way back down. Lo and behold, when we went home, I found out that there was almost a direct road from the reception back to the main highway in St. Louis. But we only found that out after we were headed back home. So it was a longer drive for us.
It was a full day for you, wasn't it?
It was.
You kind of looked like Pope John Paul there, II, with the...
The cope?
Yeah, the cope.
Yeah, I borrowed that cope from my senior pastor, Pastor Michael Cum. It's a beautiful... It's just a cape. It just goes over the pastoral robes. And it's usually worn for non-communion services. We like to dress up at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, for the weddings. The pastor likes to dress up just as much as the bride and the groom. So we did the same here, even though it wasn't being held. And it was hot, though. I told Pastor Cum, it's like wearing football pads. You got a lot of fabric all over you. But it was worth it. Well worth it.
Boy, has the noise level been reduced dramatically since Lord Feichninger is
around
here?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, the only thing you and I talk about is just the show.
Yeah. It's all business all the time. There's no shooting the breeze. There's no bull. There's no constant rock and roll music playing in the background. It is a very quiet office around here without Craig. Very quiet indeed. It even seems quieter during the show, doesn't it? Kind of awkwardly quiet.
It does. I don't see him. Usually we have to share a microphone, and I get this evil eye like, are you going to share your microphone with me today, Schwartz? I'm not getting that. I feel lonely out here.
I almost expect to see him come barging in the door as he usually does, saying it's too quiet in here. But it's very quiet, serene workplace without Craig around, which is why we're taking the better part of next week off, because we can only put up with so much of the silence, the awkward silences that ensue when Craig is. You know what that tells me, Jeff? That tells me Craig is the social glue that holds this together. That's what he is, or he's the buffer. Although Jeff and I have worked together very closely for many, many years, somehow Craig fits into that formula. I'm still trying to figure it out. When he's gone, it's like there's a big Craig-shaped hole in my heart. So we're gonna have to wait until he gets back from his beautiful honeymoon with Tori. I have noticed, though, have you noticed, Jeff, that Tori's been stopping by now that she's moved up and moved in, and she stopped by. She has fallen beautifully into the wifely pattern here. She comes by, she kind of messes with his hair, she makes sure that he straightens his shirts and stuff like that, and talks to him. I heard him the other day, he was saying something, and she said, "Craig, stop it." And it was a beautiful sight to see.
Did he stop?
I don't know. I don't know. But I mean, if she would have used that tone with me, I would have stopped. So it was very nice to see.
Yeah, and I told you the story that we went to my best favorite Mexican restaurant in Edwardsville called La Casa Mexicana. So there we are. Craig got married, Sunday afternoon?
Sunday
reception
afternoon.
Sunday night. And then Labor Day, we go there in Labor Day.
Monday.
Monday, the next day. It's about 5 o'clock. And Emily, our oldest daughter, says, "Hey, Mr. Craig's here." And I said, "Mr. Craig, who?" He said, "The guy you work with, he just got married." I was like, "No, he's not. He just got married.
What's he doing here?"
Yeah, so I go, and sure enough, there's Craig, Tori, and then across from them, Richie, one of Craig's entourage. Their first supper together, apart from the reception.
As husband and wife.
Husband and wife. And there was Richie.
Richie
lives here in Collinsville, I believe. Didn't come from far away to visit the wedding, so.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, he's going to have to learn little by little, very little by little. Well, let's begin with the Issues Etc. comment line. This comment comes with some criticism about a recent interview we did with Colleen Carroll Campbell on Paul Ryan and Roman Catholic voters.
Hi, yeah, my name is Doug, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. I was listening to your recent broadcast interview with Colleen Carroll Campbell, and I just have a couple comments. First of all, she only left two reasons why a person would want to vote for Paul Ryan for vice president. One of which was his Catholicism, which for most people in this country, especially Protestants, would be a negative. And the second one that she said is because of his fiscal prudence. Now, that of course can't go without a challenge, because Paul Ryan has done nothing financially prudent in his time in the Congress except for come up with a plan which is unworkable and unable of getting any kind of real support. So, you know, and I think she shouldn't have gone unchallenged there. He voted for all the wars that we've been involved in the last, at least two major wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, and did not vote or, you know, find it necessary to find any way to pay for them at the time. And he stepped back from the agreement that the president and then the Speaker of the House, Boehner, had last year on a financial plan for the future. He was the one who pulled the teabaggers away from that agreement. So, you know, the fiscal argument is ridiculous. Finally, I really think it's interesting that on the day after his speech to the RNC, no one seemed to mention that he's also a liar. And, geez, I don't know. That seems like to be a pretty major problem. But, you know, hey, what would I expect from Colleen Carroll Campbell, who never found a liar she didn't like?
Okay, look, I know that especially when it's time to elect a president, everybody's political radar goes up and it goes on full volume. I understand that. We listen to everything, and the culture and the media have conditioned us to do this. It's the ultimate horse race. We listen to everything as though it's some sort of shilling for one side or the other in the presidential race. I can assure you, I'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, that here at Issues Etc., we don't have any interest in shilling for either side. Our only two concerns when it comes to politics are life and the sanctity of marriage. And I think if you listen carefully, that's what you heard in that interview, too. More on that when we come back.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
If you call, I will answer. If you follow,
welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, September the 7th. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Before the break, we had a comment, some criticism about our recent interview. We do a lot of interviews with Colleen Carroll Campbell, but the listener was taking issue with what he thought her two reasons for voting for Paul Ryan were. He said that the two reasons were, what was it, his fiscal plan and something else, which were not her two reasons. And this is where... what we do with all listeners when they have a critique, go back and listen to the interview again, if you would. Please do. And listen carefully. From beginning to end of that interview, the reasons that she gives for voting for... She doesn't exclude things like fiscal matters, but the two consistent reasons she gives for voting for Paul Ryan or for any pro-life, pro-marriage candidate is that they are pro-life, the protection of life from beginning to end, and that they defend natural marriage for all the right reasons. Those are our only two concerns. I said it before. During presidential elections, everybody gets their political radar going full steam, right? So you'll watch anything. You watch a football game and you think somebody's making some sort of sidelong statement about President Obama or Mitt Romney. Everything is interpreted politically. You can turn off the political radar when you listen to Issues Etc. because I'm frankly not concerned about anybody's fiscal policy. My only concern when we're talking politics or elections are those two issues where we have a Thus Saith the Lord. That's why we have excellent guests like Colleen Carroll Campbell on. And that's why we have Roman Catholic guests on. Because if they're truly Roman Catholic, they are ardent defenders of life and of natural marriage. And those are the two reasons. So you got to be able to see the forest for the trees. Yes, occasionally a guest is going to mention something like fiscal policy or the war or something like that. Turn off the radar. What we're talking about, the important issues we're talking about, others may get mentioned, but the ones that we're focusing on are life and marriage. Now, I would also say, the caller said he thought that Paul Ryan's Catholicism would be a negative, especially for Protestants, and I just can't make any sense of that. I do not know why any candidate's Catholicism, if they're really Roman Catholic and abide by what the church teaches on the important issues pertaining to politics, why that would be a negative for any Protestant or Lutheran, for that matter. Protestants and Lutherans aren't the same thing. I don't know why, because genuinely Roman Catholic candidates are ardent defenders of the unborn, of life, and of natural marriage. So I don't see why it would be a negative for anybody.
Another major issue, and Colleen mentioned that during the interview, is religious freedom, especially in light of this HHS mandate.
Yeah, she did mention that as well. So go back and listen to the interview. I think if you listen carefully, you'll see that she wasn't talking about the war. She may have mentioned those things, but she wasn't talking about the war or fiscal policy. She was talking about the two issues that matter, why we have her on Issues Etc., life and marriage. And of course, Jeff also mentions religious freedom.
Yes, this is Chris Greenwood. I was listening to your interview with Robert Spencer, and he was talking about what we should do if Israel's attacked. And he is a puppet of the Zionist government the pro-Israeli point of view. He never talks about how we're supposed to go after Israel if they mistreat Palestinians or Palestinian Christians. And he goes and says that the Palestinian Christians are only being mistreated by the Muslims when it's actually the Israeli government that's mistreating them. And I'd like a little more balance coming from your program and from Robert Spencer with regards to Israel, because they are not innocent. Thank you.
Now, I think if you listen carefully, I don't know what interview he's talking about with Robert Spencer. We've talked to him many times. We focus with him on Muslims. That's his forte, is the dangers of Islam both politically and religiously. So naturally, he will be focusing on Muslims. Now, I don't know his position on Israel. I honestly don't. He may well be a paid card-carrying Zionist. I don't know. But we bring him on to talk about the threat of Islam, particularly here in the United States. Now, and we've been consistent with this. I mean, he asks for balance. We have been remarkably consistent, I think, when talking about Muslim persecution of Christians, including Israeli persecution of Christians. I think we're probably the only show that I know of on Christian radio, at least, that is willing to talk about how bad American support for Israel has made it for Christians in Israel. Others may mention it, but we talk about it consistently. In fact, if you listen a little bit later today, we're going to be interviewing Serge Trifkovic, and I will make sure to ask him about whether or not U.S. support for Israel makes it better or worse for Christians in the Middle East. I'm pretty sure what his answer will be. He's not going to say it's better for them. I'm pretty sure he'll say it's worse. So I don't think I've ever heard Robert Spencer say that only Muslims persecute Christians. But we've never, I honestly, since we bring him on to talk about Muslim affairs, I've never had opportunity to find out his views on the Israeli-Palestinian situation.
Here's an email from Mark in Olgaviv, Minnesota. In the opening of today's program on September 5th, Todd made reference to both presidential candidates' positions on abortion. I suggest that he should accurately say something like both of the major party candidates for president. It seems to me that this is absolutely appropriate to say. Otherwise, the impression continues to be given that the voters have only two options. There are other political parties. There are other candidates for president. Now, they may not get anywhere, but they do exist. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Mark in Minnesota.
It's a good suggestion. I mean, we should always talk, to be as accurate as possible, talk about the major parties. I will say that for all intents and purposes, while you may have many other choices in the ballot box, let's just admit the political reality of America today, and that's we've got a two-party system. We may have more than one party, but for all practical purposes right now, not in the future, not what could be, what is today, we've got a two-party system. That means we've got two candidates for president. You may vote for someone else, but like you say, they may not get any place. They do still exist. So you're right. We should be talking about the major political parties, which, because we have a two-party system for good or for ill, they are for all intents and purposes, at least when it comes to actually who you elect for president, the only two parties going. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's the way it is.
This email has to do with your recent interview with Dr. James Wellman of the University of Washington on his research on megachurches and emotional religious experience. Deborah writes, I listened to the sociologist describing the drug-like high some worshipers report when they attend megachurch services. Okay, so I Googled the world's largest churches and found that most are very old European cathedrals. I have been to the Hagia Sophia. How is it not a megachurch? And could people back then have experienced something similar in the older megachurches like St. Peter's in Rome or Milan or Cologne or Belgrade or Istanbul? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Deborah.
First of all, megachurch is a sociological term. And it is commonly defined in sociological circles. I'm talking about Hartford Institute, Dr. Thuma, the people who do megachurch research, and it's largely an American phenomenon, at least as it's studied by sociologists, defined as a church that has 2,000 or more in attendance every week. That makes you a megachurch, which in a denomination like mine, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, means there are about 5 megachurches. There are many who think they're megachurches, who call themselves megachurches, who would like to believe that they are, but they're not. You got to have more than 2,000 per week in attendance. So attendance is what counts. It's not the size of the building. You can find lots of big churches everywhere. And you might even find in some European countries places where the roles, the actual membership of the church, is far in excess of 2,000. It may be a whole town that's considered to be members of a church. But what counts when the sociologists start talking about megachurches is not how many members, but how many people attend. So that's why they're not considered megachurches. It's not the size of the building, but the size of the attendance. And I should say, when we're talking about the drug-like high, well, I don't know. I have a strong suspicion that not having the smoke machine, the music, the overt and covert emotional manipulation that goes along with the experience of the modern megachurch that was so well chronicled in our interview there, I seriously doubt we're talking about the same kind of thing taking place in those churches that may in the past have had more than 2,000 in attendance every week. By and large, if you talk about the old European churches, the old Eastern churches, you're talking about churches that were worshiping according to the ancient pattern, the original and the historic pattern of Christian worship, not the entertainment pattern of the megachurch today. When we come back, more of your email and the comment line. Stay tuned. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio Mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Regularly, we in the pro-life trenches are reminded we're soldiers in a spiritual battle. The pro-life group Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. suffered an attack by a gunman. Thankfully, nobody was killed. The hatred from our opponents is getting worse. Actress Ellen Barkin recently wished the Florida hurricane would drown all of the pro-life delegates at the Republican National Convention. Actor Samuel Jackson issued a profanity-laden statement wishing the same. Protesters at the convention were dressed up in vulgar costumes depicting a part of women's anatomy. The singer Cher wanted Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin to be raped by a person with AIDS. It may be hard, but we must pray for these people being used as pawns by Satan. God loves them too and wants them in heaven.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Well, did you get my message? Ooh. Did you get my message?
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, September the 7th. We're going through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line in a few minutes. Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Sergio Trifkovic will join us. We'll talk about the plight of Christians in the Middle East. He's written an article for Chronicles Magazine titled The Disappearing Middle Eastern Christians. He'll join us from Belgrade. And then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, the Bronze Serpent story from Numbers chapter 21. Tom Baker in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for September is, well, some people might consider it somewhat unusual, maybe even unknown. They are books of the Bible, or sometimes included in the Bible, that were written between the Testaments, largely. Some of them were written a little bit before, called the Apocrypha. They are not the Bible, but there are sometimes, even Luther included them in his German translation of the Bible. But they are produced by Issues Etc. in a brand new, and I do mean brand new, Lutheran edition with notes. And I've said before, it's like this book is like taking a seminary level course. It's very accessible, don't get me wrong. Very easy to understand, but it is at the depth of a seminary level course in these intertestamental books. So if you want to know what the Apocrypha is about, how it's been used, where it fits into history, how it fits together with Scripture while being distinct from Scripture, this is the book for you, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They are sending them out as fast as they can print them. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Last week we had a comment, I think it was an email from a listener, who's concerned about our movie reviews with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, that we weren't emphasizing enough in our movie reviews, concerns about the kind of the sinful content, the sex and violence that one might find in movies. And I think I had an opportunity to respond to him last week saying, look, we need to, if your conscience says don't go to the movies, don't go to the movies, don't violate your conscience. But we cannot isolate ourselves, even in our entertainment these days, from these things. We have to learn to watch them with discernment, or not go at all. That's another viable opportunity. Here's his response from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Doug. I emailed you recently about movies, and you commented on it, about that we had to go out of the world to, you know, not to be exposed to such things. And I think you missed my point. My point is not to try to totally escape from the bad things that are in the world, because you have to go out of the world. And we get that all the time wherever we go and places we engage in, public events and all that. And we don't try to hide and try to be monks in that way. But on movies, especially the ones that are out today, we keep feeding ourselves on these type of things, and they do create desires in us and temptations, and it is entertainment. And I really, really, I guess, didn't agree with how you responded. So, and this is part of the problem with the church today, is that even the pastors and elders don't recognize the danger of it as much as they should. I don't. You mentioned that more care could be given, and that certainly is true. So I'm not saying to try to escape from the world. Don't go to movies because you don't want to see bad. We see it all the time everywhere we go, and we don't hide ourselves. So that's just my response from your response. So thank you. Love your show. I have been edified by it. Thank you very much.
Well, bye. I apologize if I missed your point, and perhaps I did. I think my previous point stands, but if what you're saying is, look, we need to be more cautious. That's really why we do the movie reviews. We try and take, in those movie review segments, we try and take kind of a broad picture because we've got very little time and sometimes more than one thing to talk about with Pastor Fisk. What worldview are you going to be seeing? And included in that, what worldview is being portrayed here in this movie? Does it have any overlap with a Christian worldview? Or maybe it doesn't. To be cautious that those in those worldviews are all sorts of things, the kind of things that do rightly concern Christians. I'll tell you what I do. I hardly go to the movies at all anymore. I wait because we have the convenience of doing so today. I wait until the movie comes out later in some other format, until many other people have seen it, largely to try and figure out whether it's worth my time and my money. Because many of us have gone to the theater hoping for the best and walked out feeling gypped, not only of our money, but of our time. Now, with all that said, yes, we always need to be cautious that when we are being entertained, we're also being taught. When we're being entertained, there is something of our guard that drops. Sometimes humor or excitement or the action of a movie can draw us into a degree that our discernment is less than it should be. And we need to be aware of that all the time. We can get caught up. Movies are, and maybe we should say this more often, movies are another form, and it's why we find them so entertaining, they're another form of emotional psychological manipulation. Now, it's something we subject ourselves to as part of the bargain of being entertained. But you, let me put it to you this way. You go to the circus, or maybe in the old days they used to go to the circus. All right? The people on the trapeze, there's an element of danger there, but they know what they're doing. They're well-practiced. A lot of times the danger is only apparent. But they want to heighten the sense of danger and of thrill. Why? To entertain you. Are you being manipulated? Yes, but that's what you paid your $5 for, to be manipulated. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when you didn't pay your $5 or you paid your $5 and you didn't agree to the bargain. Like we were talking before about megachurch worship. Those people are not going in order to be manipulated. They think they're going in to have an encounter with God, with the Holy Spirit, but they're being manipulated. Someone's breaking the bargain there. But when you go to the movies, you go to be entertained or moved. It is artificial, but it's something that you find a good way to pass the time. So as long as we understand the bargain, and along with the manipulation that we agree to when we pay our $9.50 or whatever it is, along with that can come, if we are not vigilant and discerning, can come things, we can be taught things and convinced of things that simply are not true. And the Christian always has to be dealing at the level of truth, not at the level of, did this seem right to me when it was happening? Was I laughing because it's really funny, or was I laughing because I'd been put into a position by the entire scenario that I was willing to find it funny? What does it say that I laughed? This is how Christians should be entertained in any case, how we should be watching movies. Look at it this way. This was years ago. Remember when we talked about deception in sports, Jeff? We talked about how all sports, all games are essentially lies. Now, they're lies that we agree to. We agree to tell them and to believe them within the context of the game. But whether it's football or baseball, it all involves some form of deception. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It means that we are naturally devious people, and we even find ways to entertain ourselves with deception. What's a mystery book? A mystery is allowing yourself to be deceived by the author just long enough to make it entertaining. What's a joke? Allowing yourself to be deceived by the joke teller just long enough until the punchline falls that you find it entertaining. These are the social contracts we agree to all the time. Does it mean we don't engage in them? No. It means, just like a joke teller can get you to laugh at something that shouldn't be funny to a Christian, because he's led you down the path, be aware of where you're being led when you're watching those movies. Now, again, if your conscience says, I shouldn't go see that movie, then don't. If your conscience says, you know, I should get up and walk out of this thing. This isn't worth my time. This is trying to teach me something that isn't true. Then by all means, I don't care how much you paid for it, by all means, get up and leave. It's about watching all these things, about everything we do to entertain ourselves in a discerning way. Christians simply cannot let your guard down and say, you know, I'm just gonna have a good time. You can have a good time, but we are still called to be discerning.
John in Highland Ranch, Colorado. He said, just a quick note, this is a little embarrassing and hard to admit, but when I first heard Pastor Tom Baker was replacing Pam Nielsen, I wanted to not like him and not enjoy his segment. I was always a fan of Pam's segment and her approach to her contribution to the show, and will miss her. For no good reason, my evil nature was aligned against her replacement, Pastor Baker. But I am happy to say that after hearing his first segment yesterday, I am excited to hear from him again, and often. Some great perspective, and I learned some things that were very helpful. Great job, Pastor Baker, Issues Etc., and Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Colorado, John.
Well, I think everybody was sad to see Pam go, and it was after a long 6 years with us that she was doing those Sunday school segments, and we thought, what better way to replace her than with Pastor Baker? And he has done an excellent job. I understand what it's like. When I first took this microphone years and years ago, there were people who didn't like me as a matter of principle because I wasn't the previous host. That just goes with the territory. It's just the way it is. Now, eventually, most of those people were patient enough to listen and to get used to this rather than what they'd grown used to before. But it's nice to hear that our listeners have that same kind of discernment. I know what it's like. You get used to something, you like what you had, and then, by golly, those guys at Issues, etc., go and change it on you. Well, give us a chance. Give Pastor Baker a chance. I think that listener says it well. He does a good job of in-depth. By the way, we're going to let him do it again in the last half hour of Issues, etc. Today, we'll be revisiting the book of Numbers with him, Numbers chapter 21, talking about that famous story of the bronze serpent as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Last half hour of Issues, etc. today. When we come back, more of your email, your comment line comments, and then we'll get to Issues, etc. blog of the week.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through email and the Issues, Etc. comment line, then we'll pick Issues, Etc. blog of the week.
Yeah, I played that bump music because that was one of Craig's suggestions for Fridays.
I thought about
Lionel
that.
Lionel Richie.
I heard Craig on one of the spots during the break, and it made me feel kind of sad. You know, that velvet tone in his voice, it made me feel a little not homesick, Craig sick. That's what it made me feel. I was being manipulated emotionally by his voice.
And Lionel Richie.
That's true.
I was thinking of Craig's bump music suggestions for the show over the years, and that one comes to mind, and that's why we chose to play that today.
We're talking about him like he's
abstentia.
Dead.
It's true.
He's just on his honeymoon.
Trust me. That guy goes in there and wears his Euro trash.
Oh, my
shirt.
Goodness. Can you imagine what it's like? Do you think he's listening? Do you think he's over there right now in whatever time zone he's in? Spain or Italy? I think he's logging on and listening right now.
No, I hope not. I hope not. But I mean, I could just see him. You know, he's in Greece or something. Woman, I'm an American. Where's my meal? The waitress, you know, he had to wait 5 minutes or something.
Yeah.
We're Americans here. Yeah.
I'd like to see how he's going to react to all the different kinds of food. And he's going to want ketchup on everything. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, you know, I'll bet he probably packed a couple of bottles of Country Bob's all-purpose sauce.
I'm sure he did.
So, but anyway, his contribution.
See how boring our lives are without him. We just sit here and talk about Craig the whole time.
We get a lot more done around here.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But anyway, so Hello by Lionel Richie. And two that have never quite made it. I think we did play Martian Boogie once when we did a show on UFOs or something.
Yeah, one time.
Yes. He loves Martian Boogie.
There was a point very early after our comeback where every day after the show, when we turned off the streamer, he would turn on Martian Boogie and play it maximum volume there in the control room. Every single day. He'd just sit and giggle and laugh. He just thought it was great.
And the other one, which is yet to make its debut, is Friday Night Fish Fry. He always wants us to play that on Fridays. Friday Night Fish Fry.
One more reason why Craig is not the producer of Issues, Etc. I mean, it would be interesting radio, but it would probably veer from its premise pretty radically if Craig were the producer of Issues, Etc.
Want to play another comment?
Yes.
Hello, this is Isaac Duke in Olympia, Washington, and I want to comment on Pastor Wilkins' comment on my comment about Bach on the comment line. But I wholeheartedly agree with the issue he was making about gospel by osmosis. And so much agree that when we performed Bach's Cantata No. 4, Christ Laid Us on Bands, one year for Good Friday, we did the Good Friday service, but we also learned the Cantata 4, and we did that on Sunday. And we sang it in English, and we did our own translation. And I recommend, as a Christian, when you listen to the CD I recommended of Bach Collegium Japan, you sit there with the liner notes, and even though you're listening to the words in German, you look at the liner notes and look at the translation, and as a Christian listening to Bach, it will preach the gospel message to you. As you read the text, you may hear it in another language, but the word does go in. It doesn't return void. But definitely in public, and when we sing it in our church, we put the words in English on the overhead, so that not only were people hearing us sing in English, but they were seeing it, the text, up there, so there was no doubt. And I totally agree with you that the gospel is primary and the music supports the gospel. But I think music is meant to be supportive. I think music, like anything, when it's glorified in and of itself, it loses its proper place and actually loses some of its power. But when it's meant to be subjected to the word and the sacrament, then it can really flourish in its beauty and in its enhancement and its supporting, even in some ways preaching, because, you know, like your guest, Dr. Zader, pointed out, there can be other hymns going on in the music that the words may not actually be sung at that time, but because people are familiar with it, that text is going into their spirit. And can sometimes even be going in, you can hear two people talking at the same time, but with the art of music, you can actually have multiple things going into someone's spirit and kind of go past the intellect right to their heart. Anyway, great comments. Really appreciate the show. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I couldn't have said it better. I would be cautious about going past the intellect straight to the heart. Those kind of things generally get to be dangerous. And the apostle does warn us that we are not to bypass the mind. That there's in matter spiritual, there's no bypassing the mind. We're talking about intelligible words. We're talking about the Word of God, so we don't bypass the mind. Does music have an ability to soothe the savage breast, as so to speak? Yes, of course it does. But we will separate that from, while it may come along with the Word of God, we'll separate it from the Word of God. But other than that, I couldn't have said it better myself. By the way, I mean, taking up that almost that exact challenge there. Lutheran Public Radio, every Sunday afternoon at 1 Central, is playing a Bach cantata, and we are posting along with it the words both in the original German, which is our way of tipping our hat to the original language there that Bach composed for, but also in English, a good solid translation of those Bach cantatas, so that our listeners can do exactly the same thing every Sunday afternoon as they listen at LutheranPublicRadio.org to the Bach cantata that plays uninterrupted in its entirety. They also have a link to the words so that, although they're listening in German, that's why we post the words. We want the listeners to benefit from the Word of God that's born there, not simply to marvel at the beauty of the music. But it's something that we offer every Sunday for our listeners at LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world.
You know, it appears by Facebook that we've made some progress in marrying off the developer, or getting our developer of the iPhone app for Issues Etc. married, Daniel Berquist.
What?
Well, we saw the pictures of his girlfriend. We're making progress.
I see. They're not married yet.
No, they're not married yet.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah,
We're making progress toward marriage. Yes.
So I think once we mark that off our checklist, next comes a possible betrothal for the developer of the Issues Etc. Android app, MPOP. And he sends us an email.
Okay.
He noticed he heard you mention yesterday you're going to be speaking out in January in Washington, D.C. for a life conference during your interview with Maggie Carner. He lives in Maryland. And MPOP says, Pastor Wilkin, do you like cigars? If so, when you are in D.C. in January, would you like to get together on an evening and I can take you to my favorite cigar lounge? I will even buy you a cigar, says MPOP.
Well, it's a very nice invitation. I don't know if my time is free. To the question of what I like to arrive and then leave very quickly whenever I travel. It's my intense desire to sleep in my own bed as often as possible that drives that. So we shall see, MPOP, as to whether or not I like cigars. I love the smell of cigars. I could sit with people who are smoking cigars all day long. I think the smell is positively divine. It's not the same as drinking it. I'm sorry, I was talking about coffee there. It's not the same as smoking one. Smoking one, to me, ruins the experience. I used to smoke cigars a lot, but I'd rather sit and smell it than it's kind of like, for some people, coffee. They love the smell of coffee, but when they drink it, it ruins the experience. That's the way cigars are for me. I used to smoke them all the time, but not so much anymore.
Do you recall one of the first times we spent some time with then president of LCMS World Relief and Human Care? Actually, he was a pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana, before he took the call to be president of executive director of LCMS World Relief and Care, Human Care, who's now president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison. Remember when we saw him in Fort Wayne at Symposia? How many cigars did he have in his hands?
We went to the smokeout. It was this event. I don't know if they still do it when they have the symposium at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. But there was an event where they would rent out some sort of a ramshackle building out on the edge of some field someplace. All the people from the symposium would come out to this place and pack into a room. And it was called the smokeout? They would just, it was people smoking cigars and pipes and cigarettes. And I remember going and sitting with Pastor Harrison at the time, and a great purveyor of cigars. He's a great lover of cigars, and when you're 6'4" with a giant mustache, it kind of fits your personality to be smoking a cigar. It kind of does. There's no pretense there for Pastor Harrison. And I remember that conversation. That was where you made your first prediction. Do you remember? And we were sitting there in a small group of pastors. Pastor Harrison was kind of holding forth, and Jeff Schwarz predicted right there to his face that he would be one day the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And I vowed to be his campaign manager. He never took me up on that offer, but yeah, I saw it back then.
Good
you
thing.
Know, what can I see? You know, I know talent. Look, I found you. You know, I know talent when I see it.
Yeah, so that worked out pretty nicely. And now, years later, that must have been when, Jeff? That must have been 10 years ago at least. More than 10 years ago.
I think it was 2000 or 2001.
Yeah, so it would have been 12, 13 years ago, and I'm still doing what I was doing then, and now he's president of Synod. That says something, doesn't it? But I'm not smoking cigars anymore. And he still is, as far as I know. So there. Some of us can rid ourselves of our vices, and others, well, he lives a more stressful life than I do. So maybe that's why he continues to smoke cigars. Who knows? Maybe he actually likes them. Some people do. I miss Craig. I really, really miss him. It's just too quiet around here without Craig. It's a good thing we're taking next week off. Even though we do have great original programming next week, we're starting a series with Dr. Elaine Berglund on reading the Bible with understanding. It's going to be fantastic. But in the second hour of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, we're going to spend some time with, first, Dr. Serge Trifkovic. We'll be talking to him about the terrible plight of Christians in the Middle East that isn't any better than it was about 20 years ago. And then Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, The Bronze Serpent, in Numbers chapter 21. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to win a 4-CD set of 45 Reformation hymns? It's titled Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church. Now here is how you enter this contest. First, like the Facebook fan page for Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, facebook.com/Lutheran Public Radio. Second, post an invitation for your Facebook friends to listen to Lutheran Public Radio. And third, send the text of your Facebook post and the number of your Facebook friends to contest@issuesetc.org. We'll give away this 4-CD set, Heirs of the Reformation, to the contestant with the best Facebook post and to the contestant with the most number of Facebook friends. We'll announce the winner on Monday, October the 1st. Participate in a Facebook contest for Lutheran Public Radio during the month of September.